Hi, I'm Deborah Lindad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. I just heard, as I was waiting, and you've probably been listening to the news too, I just heard a commercial for Lumber Liquidators. And I just wanted to mention that they're having a sale, as announced in that commercial, very low prices on wood flooring. And I have a Lumber Liquidators here. I've looked at their flooring. If you want to go check out the sale, that's a really good price. They have flooring that is solid wood, no pressed. I mean, some of them have things on them. But go and take a look and see if they have solid wood flooring. If you're looking for, I'm sure they have solid wood flooring. I meant to say solid wood flooring on sale, because that's a very good price. And if you're looking to redo your floors, a pre-finished solid wood floor is a very good non-toxic option. I have them in my house, and very, very good. So my guest today is holistic veterinarian Dr. Deva Khalsa. She's author of the best-selling book, Dr. Khalsa's Natural Dog. And she earned her degree in 1981, so she's been doing this for about 25 years. And she has been incorporating homeopathy, acupuncture, Chinese herbs, nutritional advice, and allergy elimination techniques. And today her work is a blend of sophisticated holistic techniques and traditional veterinary medicine designed to best enhance the natural strengths and attributes of her patients. And she is really has been a lifesaver for ailing animals who would not have otherwise survived had they had not been brought to her for treatment. So she's got a lot of experience and information today, and we're going to be talking about how to care for your dog. Hi, Dr. Khalsa. You know what? I'm going to just call her Deva because I know her personally. Hi, Deva.
That's much better. Hey, nice to be here. Very nice to be here.
Thank you. And she lives in Australia part-time. So you're
No,
you're
New Zealand.
New Zealand, that's right.
Right.
And so, but she's here now in America, in Florida, probably right, she's right down the street from me. And so we're talking to her in this time zone and not another one.
Yes.
So tell us how you got interested in being a veterinarian, and why a holistic veterinarian?
Well, I always wanted to be a veterinarian ever since I was a little girl. I think when I was about 2 years old, the story is told about how I collected all the ants before my birthday and put them in a box and my mother wouldn't kill them. And I collected every animal on the street, whether they were sick or not, and brought them home to treat. So I always wanted to be a veterinarian. In those days, not that many girls were veterinarians. I actually think I've been a veterinarian for almost 35 years, or 30, more than 25 if you add it up, but I don't want to add it. But the thing is that in those days, you know, mostly men became veterinarians, and by the time I started in veterinary school, a lot more women were becoming veterinarians. And it's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. I totally, totally love it. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. But what happened was the veterinary school at that time, it still is pretty much, was the hardest professional school to get into. And it was harder than medical school. Dental school used to be doctor's backups, and medical school was my backup. So I got into medical school, but I didn't get into veterinary school. And I lived in New Jersey, and only 15 people in the entire state of New Jersey, and New Jersey is packed full of people, got accepted to veterinary schools. They had deals with different veterinary schools. So I moved to Pennsylvania and became a Pennsylvania resident in a year. And the next year I applied to University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine, and I got into veterinary school. And I turned down the medical school. I didn't go to medical school. But during that year, I thought that if I had to be a medical doctor, which I didn't want to do, at least I'd become a holistically oriented medical doctor. Because I felt that, especially in those days, now times have changed quite a bit in the last 30 years, but especially in those days, people really didn't take responsibility for their health as much as they do now. They expected to go to a doctor and get a pill, and he would fix it. Nowadays, we're so into supplements, at least I'm sure the people who listen to the show, and eating right and keeping toxins out of our environment. And it's a big thing, but in those days it wasn't. And I thought, you know, it's just ridiculous. People don't care for themselves, then they expect a doctor to fix it. So I wanted to do holistic. So I took holistic human. By the time, just courses, lots of courses. I got into veterinary school. I knew a lot of stuff. And as I went through veterinary school, I kept looking at what they were doing, thinking, but if I did it like they do it with people, then you know, what could happen is they could get better this way instead of this more toxic and more invasive manner. So by the time I got out, I got a job, and I tried all the stuff I'd learned on animals. I'd learned it on people, but I tried on animals, and it was like beginner's poker luck. Everything worked miraculously. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I got so excited. I went to India. I went to Brazil. I went to England. I studied with the best of the best. And before I knew it, I was one of the top holistic practitioners in the world at the first International Homeopathic Conference at Oxford in England. I was the keynote speaker. And I just took all the people stuff that I learned, and I kept transferring it to animals. And so I learned lots of different technologies for holistic health, and I had a huge practice in Pennsylvania before I moved to New Zealand and loved it. And that's a long answer to a short question.
And we're going to go to break early because we're actually going to reconnect and see if we can get better quality sound. This is not as good as it usually is. So you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad. My guest today is holistic veterinarian Dr. Deva Khalsa. And as you already heard, she's quite experienced and knowledgeable. And we're going to hear all about taking care of your dog naturally when we come back.
I'm Deborah Lindad. And my guest today is holistic veterinarian Dr. Deva Khalsa. And her website is drdeva.com if you'd like to go there after you've listened to her speak. So, Deva, you said that you'd like to talk about things that dog owners often do out of love for their pets, which might not be so good for them.
Yes, I would. And I think that's an important concept because remember that veterinary medicine is basically mainstream medicine. And so they live by conventional products and pharmaceutical products. And so veterinarians recommend these things all the time for their patients. And we like our veterinarians because they like animals and we like animals and we trust them. But they've been trained conventionally, and they haven't been trained to look at what these products do and how often are they needed. And they also sell these products. And so it makes money to sell products to animals that help prevent certain problems. But what's happening is we love our animals, and we want to do our best for them. So people are spending a great deal of money on products their pets don't need. And we can go over a few of these different products.
Yeah, tell us about some of these products.
What is your listener area? I mean, is it all over the United States?
All over the world.
Oh, perfect. Okay, then that's simple. Well, the first thing is that dogs don't need the numbers of vaccines that they get. Research has shown, and this research has been very thorough and carefully done over a period of almost 10 years by Dr. Ronald Schultz, who is PhD in immunology, and he's brilliant and well-known and very well-respected in his field, and Dr. Jean Dodds, who is a veterinarian and very, very well-respected in her field. So you know how we get a polio shot when we're kids and then we don't worry about it? Like, you're not worried that your grandmother is 80 years old and she's going to get polio because she hasn't had her shot in 78 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because it lasts for a lifetime. And the vaccines for parvo and distemper, that booster shot that you're told to go in for every year, that shot lasts for a lifetime, given and especially after 6 months of age. I mean, so the research is pretty irrefutable that let's say you get two puppy shots. Let's say when you have a puppy, you give them a shot at 14 weeks and at 17 weeks, which is late, but that's what I like to do, of a booster. Then they get a shot a year later. They're good for the rest of their lives. They don't need that booster every year. They absolutely don't need it. And it's unnecessary. The same thing with the cat distemper shot that you're told to get every year. And many people with indoor cats go outside, go in for the puppy check, and then get this vaccine. What we're going to think of them is the puppy booster and the kitten booster, and not the rabies shot, just the boosters that have a whole bunch of diseases in them. And we could spend an hour talking about the diseases and how rare some of them are and how they don't work, you know, but
yeah.
Shots simply are not needed. And these vaccines are incubated in a broth of chicken and bovine serum. They're embryos, chicken embryos, which are eggs, basically, and bovine serum, which is a serum of cows, and some brewer's yeast, and a lot of viruses that have contaminated the broth for years and years and years. And then some adjuvants and some mercury. And it's really a pretty toxic mix. And when you give it to your dog every year, you're going to promote autoimmune disease and allergies and lots of other diseases. Pardon me. In fact, cats commonly get kidney failure and have kidney problems after 10 or 12 years of age. Many cats start to get elevated kidney enzymes, and that's because the cat vaccines also have feline kidney tissue in the broth, and you're sensitizing the cats to their very own feline kidney tissue. So what we're doing is basically the same thing as if we ran in every single year of our lives and got our polio vaccine and got our tetanus vaccine and got our diphtheria vaccine and got our measles and mumps vaccine, and we ran in every year and we did it. There's enough autoimmune disease in people. There are enough allergies in people. There's enough irritable bowel disease in people that if we did that, it would be a plague rather than an endemic. So the thing is that we're giving them these vaccines every year, these multivalent combination vaccines that are terrible for their immune system and absolutely unhealthy, and they don't need them. And my site is Dr. Deva, which is Dr. spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R, and then my first name, which is D-E-V-A. So it's Dr. D-E-V-A, and E is an egg. And on it, I have, under free pet care help, I have articles, the research that was done, what was found, who did the research. It's irrefutable. And anyone who's listening can go on there and just look at the free pet health help. It's like a woman holding onto her dog. And then you look at the article about vaccines, and you can read it and see all the absolute data. I have 32 YouTube videos on different things. Some of them are on vaccines for dogs and cats. I have magazine articles, many, many of them that I've written for magazines. There's hundreds of them, but probably there's 50 on the site. And you can get all the information you want about that to prove to yourself that you don't need them. But the veterinarian, you have to actually educate yourself, because your veterinarian is going to say, let's give your dog the booster shot. In addition to the Bordetella, which is the kennel cough shot, which isn't necessary unless you board your dog, and it only lasts for 3 months. So unless you board your dog all the time, there's no reason to give that vaccine. The last one that is very common is the rabies vaccine, which is legally necessary. Even though the duration of the immunity is extensive, it's lifelong, but it doesn't matter. Your township wants you to give your animal the rabies vaccine. But the rabies vaccine is known to be contaminated with the fibrosarcoma virus, cancer vaccine. So there's a fibrosarcoma cancer that's caused by a virus. And cats get it commonly from the vaccination. So the students are taught to give the rabies vaccine to cats in their tails or their legs, so they can amputate one or the other if they get fibrosarcoma cancer in the area of the vaccine. So, in short, vaccines are not safe, and consumers should educate themselves as to what their pets really need and do a good job educating themselves, so when they go into their veterinarian, they can stand up and say, this is what I read, or I printed out this article, and I'd like to stay your patient, but I want you to understand that I don't want my animal to get vaccinated. So the first is vaccines.
Wow. That's, you know, I think about, I used to have cats. I don't have a cat right now, but I've had several cats, and we never vaccinated them and never had a problem with it. You know, all those things. And I think that there are, that we do need to be looking, like I heard you mention mercury. And is mercury in all the vaccines, all those booster shots?
As far as I know, unless something has changed in the past few years, yes.
Yeah. So every time you give your pet those booster shots and or those vaccines, you're giving them a good dose of mercury. And that's a toxic heavy metal. So
yes, yes. And, you know, and the thing is that the only real disease that cats get that can be prevented from vaccines is feline distemper, which is mm-hmm. also called panleukopenia, and only kittens get it. So if your cat is a year old, it's not going to get feline distemper, and it doesn't need the vaccine. The rest of the stuff is totally superfluous, and it's not a joke. They're just not going to get it. It's superfluous. And the other thing is that the vaccines for FIV or FELV are terrible vaccines, the FELV vaccine, feline leukemia virus. It doesn't prevent feline leukemia virus, as far as as my experience, and there's many other veterinarians who would agree with me. And it's very toxic, and according to Marty Goldstein and many other veterinarians, we believe that it can cause cancer in pets, just the vaccine alone. And we're seeing one in two dogs get cancer. This is why it's so important to eliminate toxins, because we're seeing one in two pets get cancer. So the trick is, and we'll go over flea prevention and flea products next, but the trick is to minimize toxins that your pets get exposed to, and to maximize goodness that they get into their systems to help them dump the toxins out.
Well, that's just about the same formula as what is good for humans.
You got it.
That we should be, and so when people do things to remove toxic chemicals from their homes, they're also removing the exposures for their pets. And I would think that one of the things that we talk about in terms of children's health is that a child, if you think about the amount of toxic chemicals in a home, that we have big bodies, but children have small bodies and babies have even smaller bodies. And so the amount relative to their body size is much more than it is for an adult. And then you start looking at a pet or a cat or a kitten that you know, it's just amazing how the concentration just gets greater and greater and greater.
Well, look at vaccination. When they vaccinate your pet, there's a little vial with all the bugs in it, you know, and then water. Yeah. And then you take the sterile water and put it in and you mix it up and then you stick it in the dog. So you can stick it into a 2-pound Chihuahua puppy, the exact same amount that you would stick into a Great Dane adult. And look at the amount of toxins that little dog is getting. In fact, little dogs and young dogs get terrible vaccine reactions because they're so small and you're giving them such a burden, you know. But interestingly enough, our dogs, are you there?
I'm here.
I heard a click. I heard a click and I got a little nervous.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, when lawns are sprayed and you're taking your dog, you know, your dog doesn't usually stay on your lawn all the time, and you may spray your lawns, or your neighbor may, or the park may. We assume that when the rain comes and washes it down, it goes into the ground. And actually what happens when it rains is it mixes up the stuff, and it forms a mist that goes up about 2 feet from the ground of all the herbicides and the insecticides that have been sprayed on the lawn. So then when your dog goes out and runs through that mist, it's running through a mist of insecticides.
Wow.
I mean, it's the same thing with fall leaves. If your dog is allergic to mold or has allergy, you know, you walk through the leaves, you're wearing shoes and pants, and you stir them up, the mold, because that's what makes leaves degrade. But the dogs are in there in this dust, mold dust, so they actually get a much higher exposure than we do. And besides that, we give them their heartworm prevention all the time, and we give them their spot-on products all the time, you know? I mean, I developed a vitamin under the name of the company Deserving Pets, which has things in it to detoxify our pets because we're giving them so many toxins. That was the purpose of it, because one in two dogs is getting cancer, because kale dumps toxins from cells about 8 times faster. The longer a toxin sits in a cell, the more the chance it has to change it into a cancerous cell and alter the DNA. So all these vegetables and fruits that you're talking about, these essentials that, you know, that people should take, it's the same cell in a dog as it is in a person, except dogs don't like raspberries and blueberries that much. I mean, there's lots of recipes in my book, Dr. Dave's Natural Dog, which is actually in its second edition in January, coming out next year. The first edition is still out, but it's like $400 on Amazon.com. I don't think anyone is paying that. And you can still buy it on Kindle.
I need to interrupt you because we need to go to break. The commercial's going to play, even if you're still talking.
Okay,
so you're
listening
to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be right back with Dr. Dave Akalsa. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is holistic veterinarian Dr. Dave Akalsa. And her website is drdeva.com, and it's doctor spelled out, and then Deva is D-E-V-A, drdeva.com. So let's talk about fleas.
Sure. Okay, let's talk about fleas. So, you know, depending on where you live, depends on really how many fleas you get, right?
Right.
And there are these top spot products, which people dab on, which seem really nice compared to the dips and sprays and powders and flea collars we used to use before. Now, note that dips, sprays, collars, and flea powders, and even collars, the poison gets into your pet's bloodstream and circulates all through the capillaries, through all the organs, the kidneys, and the liver, so that if the collar is sitting on your dog or cat's neck and a flea comes and bites them on the tail, it's going to drop dead because of the poisons in the blood.
Right.
The collars and the dips don't powder on. They go systemically, right?
Right.
But then what seemed to happen was these Tough Spot products came on, you know, line, and they were thought to be really handy little things, and you'd put them on and they'd keep the fleas and ticks away, and everybody's worried about Lyme disease, and no one wants fleas on their dog. And so what happens is they start to use these commonly. And it it was thought that they were relatively safe for years, and we as veterinarians were told that they were safe. But actually, it's not true, because in 2009, the Environmental Protection Agency began reviewing the safety of these spot-on flea and tick products. And what they found wasn't pretty. And additionally, the Washington-based Center for Public Integrity, which is a nonprofit investigative news organization, and the National Resources Defense Council, an environmental advocacy group, they began to look at these over-the-counter flea and tick prescriptions. And what they discovered was that they are totally not safe. Like the active ingredient, which is fipronil, in many products like Paristar, Frontline, Easy Spot, Century Fipro-Guard, we're told as veterinarians is absorbed into the sebaceous glands, which is the oil glands of the dog, and it provides a natural reservoir which kills the ticks. Mm-hmm. But then this woman, or I don't know if it's a man or a woman, Dr. DeBosey of the EPA's pesticide division, took a look at it and discovered that it entered the body and was excreted into the urine and feces of dogs, and it entered the fat and all the organs. And it showed that low doses of fipronil long-term, which is what animals have when they're dotted with this one particular product every single month, has the potential for nervous system toxicity, thyroid cancer, altered thyroid hormones, liver toxicity, kidney damage, convulsions, whining, barking, crying, reduced fertility, it can go on and on, loss of hair at the spot. And it doesn't even work against fleas and ticks that much, so what they do is they add more ingredients and add other toxic ingredients. So basically, you know, pesticide.org says that fipronil, which is the ingredient in these spot-ons, disrupts nerves in animals other than insects. It doesn't bind as tightly to these nerve cells, but it does. When it's exposed to the sun, it becomes 10 times more toxic. So you put it on your dachshund, he lies in the sun, it's going to get much, much more toxic because the sun is hitting the product. Now, the thing is that there's... Go on.
You know, I've never come across that before. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, that idea. But it's fascinating to me that a chemical would become more toxic in the sun. And suddenly I'm thinking, well, what about the chemicals that humans are exposed to? Which of those chemicals become more toxic in the sun?
Don't know. You know, a lot of this stuff isn't easy to find, this data.
I know.
It's not like you can just look it up, and anyone who has that chemical doesn't want it to be known that that might happen, but it's a good point. It's a very good point.
Especially now in the summertime when people are out in the sun. And it could be activating toxic chemicals that we don't even know about. And I mention this not to be scary, but it's another reason why we should be watching and eliminating.
Well, you should research that. And you know, I'll try to find you my source, and then you can actually maybe go from that and see what you can figure out.
That would be great, because I would like to know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I want to be fair to all the products, too. So there's another insecticide called imidacloprid. Imidacloprid. Well, it can be called imidacloprid and imidacloprid, but we'll call it imidacloprid. And it is the compound that's in many of the insect dusting things they put on crops that's killing the bees worldwide. In fact, Europe and Russia have put bans on imidacloprid use in their crops. I think Europe for 2 years and Russia refuses to use it. I think they're saying by some trade agreement, Monsanto says they should use it, and Russia's saying they won't use it until it's proven it's safe, and they're going to do the research that's proven it's safe. And meanwhile, Putin is very much against using this in Russia at all. But this is what's used in Advantage and other products. And it's a hard word. It's a neonicotinoids. They're neonicotinoids, and they act on the nervous system too, and they can damage the kidneys, liver, thyroid, heart, lung, spleen, adrenal, brain, and gonads. It's a neurotoxin. It can cause incoordination, labored breathing, and muscle weakness. And researchers found an increase in birth defects in mice, rats, and dogs when this drug was tested after its debut in 1994. So that's another thing that we put on, you know, every month, thinking that we're protecting our animals, right? Now, the pyrethrins and synthetic pyrethrins, which are called the pyrethroids, pyrethrins are made from marigolds. Everyone thinks has to be safe, okay? Because they're natural, right? They are the highest cause of reported death. Now, all these adverse reactions are reported, but honestly, if you're dog or cat, and any of you listeners listening now, if you, your dog and cat had an adverse reaction, you went to the vet or the emergency service from one of these spot-on products, would you be savvy enough to call the appropriate department and report the adverse reaction? I won't.
Probably not.
I'm a veterinarian. I don't have the time. So these are the reported reactions, but the most common reported death causes, in fact, there's lawsuits, there's class action lawsuits against some of these firms. The most common death, cause of death is the permethrin, the synthetic pyrethrins, you know? And what happens is because they are not as effective per milligram as the other products, they really whop it up. Like a new product has 36.8% in it.
Wow.
And that's a very high amount to put on. So what we're doing is we're putting all this stuff on our dogs every single month because we don't want to expose them to disease. So let's just go through two simple things. Let's say you don't want your dog to get Lyme disease or any other diseases that are passed by ticks, which are quite a number of diseases, and you're worried that, gee, oh my God, a tick might get on my dog. Well, first of all, the spot-on products don't necessarily guarantee that the tick will not bite your dog and inject a disease before it dies from the product. That's number one.
Right.
And number two, the best way to prevent your dog from disease is keep them healthy. And the commercial about garlic, and if you chop up garlic finely, and you actually chop up garlic very finely and let it sit for 10 minutes, a chemical reaction occurs, which releases a lot more lysin, and then you mix it in with your dog's food. It's like giving him an antibiotic every single day. And an article on my site called Garlic Friend or Foe gives explanations, doses, and everything, and garlic is totally safe for dogs, and I hear people, so I bet there's a break.
Yes, it's time for a break. Thank you. This
You're
is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Dr. Deva Khalsa. You can go to her website, drdeva.com. It's doctor spelled out, and then Deva is D-E-V-A. And we'll be right back and talk with Dr. Deva more about what we can do to take care of our dogs. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is holistic veterinarian Dr. Deva Khalsa. She's the author of the best-selling book, Dr. Khalsa's Natural Dog, and has more than 30 years experience treating pets in a holistic way. So one of the things that I often say about humans is that we should be creating health instead of treating disease. And I think you would agree with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So can you give us some tips about things that our listeners can do to create health in their dogs?
Well, you know, they were told, do people buy for their dogs a processed, very heated, a very highly compressed dog food that's made with byproducts? And when you look at what the bag costs, even if it's expensive, you're buying the most more expensive brand, the ingredients can only be so perfect to fit into that bag, and especially big companies that you have to pay, that pay enormous advertising costs, television commercials, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying
mm-hmm.
for that somehow, and it's coming out of the cost of that bag of dog food. So you're buying basic dog food, which is telling you it has everything you need for your dog, and in fact, all the studies on vitamins and minerals for dogs are incomplete, everything, and no one really knows exactly what they need. And after being in practice for over 30 years, I would use human vitamins, different combinations of human vitamins, all kinds of things for my patients because of the fact that I didn't have anything that I felt was good enough in the veterinary line. And that's why I made Deserving Pets Vital Vitis, because I put in kale and broccoli and pumpkin and, you know, so many things, alfalfa and cranberries and, you know, carrots and all of these different fresh fruits and vegetables, in addition to high-quality human-grade vitamins, and then I microencapsulated them so that they're palatable. Your dog doesn't know he's eating kale and that he's eating broccoli and that he's, you know, eating lots of healthy greens.
Mm-hmm.
He just thinks he's getting a treat because it's microencapsulated, which means it's coated and it's flavored. So the vitamins never oxidize because they don't reach the air. And the whole fruits and vegetables that are organic also never oxidized. And so I created this so that cells would have the building blocks to stay healthy. For our homes, we use vacuum cleaners and we use you know, use natural products, you know, like vinegar or whatever to clean our homes. Right. And we use scrub brushes and water and window cleaner. And we have paint and tape and all kinds of things to keep our house in shape. And we have to, because if we didn't create and create and create it, it would just get destroyed. And cells have to do the same thing. And their tools are vitamins and minerals and the phytonutrients in superfoods. And that's what helps keep their cells clean, dump toxins, and also repair themselves. And they don't get that every day. They get a processed, highly heated dog food in which the vitamins and minerals are basically destroyed due to the process. And they're told that their dog is getting everything or their cat that they need, especially cats. Cats don't eat vegetables. That's why my cat vitamin is so good, because the cats like it and they get everything. So when you give the cells everything they need, what happens is they're able to fight off and clean out all the junk that both we and our pets are getting exposed to every single day. And you can't, people go out and go, I want my dog to have good joints. I'll go out and get glucosamine. I want my dog to do this. I'll go out and get this. You actually need a product that gives you everything you need to keep everything healthy every day, that's put together in a smart way so that the cells have what they need and everything stays healthy. You know, I'll have animals that are on glucosamine. They go on this product, the alfalfa and the vitamin C, work to keep the dog's arthritis and joints healthy. They can go off all their other products. Yes. So you have to have a balanced, complete product that your dog gets every single day that's really, really well made. A lot of pet vitamins do not have the milligrams, the international units. They have a general jumble on the bottom that tells what's in it, but it doesn't tell you how balanced it is and exactly what's in it. So giving your pet what they need to stay healthy every day is really, really important. And then the other side of the coin, just like people, is minimizing toxins.
Yes. Those are the two things. I mean, when, after all these years of studying this, what it finally came down to for me is eliminate toxins and put in lots of nutrition.
Yeah,
and that people need to be eating whole foods. They need to be taking whole food supplements, and pets do too. It's the same kind of, you know, it's just the same formula for pets. But when we look at, as you said, when we look at what the pets are actually eating, what the pet foods are about, it's all cooked. And I mean, I think that there's a couple of raw pet foods out there. And I haven't researched it a lot because I don't have a pet right now.
Well, raw, but the people who feed raw are not feeding lots of vegetables either. You know, I mean,
right,
you know what the new
right.
diet is for people, that my family from New Jersey is doing now, because there's been so much cancer in my family. I'm adopted, so I don't really genetically worry about it. But they're eating, the new diet is 80% vegetables.
Oh, that's great.
That is the new thing out there. The doctors are telling people 80% vegetables.
I think
and then the other 20% is carbs and protein.
Yeah. I think I eat at least 50% vegetables, but that's not how it's been. You know what? I didn't grow up on that. I grew up on TV dinners, actually.
Yeah, well, I didn't grow up on that either. And, you know, but I'm a vegetarian. And when they told me, or I was for years, now I would eat fish occasionally for the past 10 years, but very rarely. But the thing is that when my family told me that they were eating 80% vegetables, I said, I'm a vegetarian. I'd have a hard time eating 80% vegetables myself.
Yeah.
And do you count them from when they're fresh or when you cook them and they melt down? You know, I don't know, but it seems like a lot of vegetables. And there's two salient things that I say that sort of reflect how we think nowadays. And we've been conditioned to think this way through commercials and through advertising and, you know, some sort of self-conscious routine that we have to have great lawns and we have to have this and that. So dandelion is one of the healthiest herbs on the planet. It does so much. It cleans the liver, unbelievably tones it. It's healthier than milk thistle for the liver, great for the urinary tract, moves toxins out of the lymph system, circulates and gets things going in your body. The Italians, you know, pick it in the spring and they eat it. It grows on our lawns. And what's the first thing we do when we see a dandelion growing on our lawns? We spray
Roundup. Roundup.
Right. We spray it. So,
yeah.
You know, everybody go, duh, because it's one of the healthiest things around, and we're busy spraying it because somewhere on TV or somewhere on the radio or somewhere in a magazine, we got convinced we had to do that so our neighbors would like us. And then there's all this bad press on the web about garlic, so I got completely disgusted with it because people have been giving dogs garlic for years, that dogs can't have garlic, that it's toxic. Well, it turns out that the FDA did a study in which dogs did get sick from garlic, and you know why? Because what they fed were dogs that were size of a golden retriever, 75 entire cloves of garlic every meal, two meals a day. What dog would eat the equivalent of 75 cloves of garlic, two meals a day for weeks on end? You and I could not possibly do that.
No. No.
So, you know, these dogs would get, only some of the dogs would get sick from it. So they said that garlic was toxic from dogs. Do you know that you could actually kill someone by having them drink too much water? You can die from
yes.
too much water. So I called
yes.
the National Animal Supplement Council, which gets every, you know, report, every adverse report on products that are out there. And, for 5,000 years, garlic has been used for medicinal purposes. The price of a slave in Rome used to be a couple of pounds of garlic. So the thing is that I called, and the adverse reports on garlic and millions and millions and millions of doses have been like four. You know, and these were products that are other things in the mix. So who knows if it was garlic or the rest of the stuff. And it was not, and they weren't bad adverse effects. There were diarrhea, you know, vomiting, something like that. So the thing is that garlic is excellent for dogs. I wrote an article for Dogs Naturally magazine, an excellent magazine, and it's on my site, Garlic Friend or Foe, and it gives all the statistics, all the information about garlic. And, you know, and meanwhile, everyone's afraid to feed their dog garlic. We're spraying our dandelions, and we're scared to feed our dog garlic. But we're putting on top spot stuff every month so they don't get fleas and ticks.
Yeah, yeah.
See what I mean?
Well, I do know what you mean, but I think that a lot of people who are alive today, I think you and I are similar age, and we grew up at a time where, you know, where what we were told was better living through chemistry. And we were given all the TV commercials about all the chemicals we should use and everything. And that's what everybody thought was normal. And now we're finding that it isn't what we should be doing. We need to be learning all these things that you're talking about. We need to be changing our viewpoint about how we approach life, because it's a very different thing to decide that you're going to be creating health by doing the things that create health rather than just doing anything and getting sick and then trying to repair the body, whether it's a human body or a pet body. And it's just, it's a different way of looking at things that we're not oriented to in this culture. But
no, and we have difficulty enough deciding it for ourselves. And then when people have to do it for their dogs, you know, people are convinced they can't cook for their dogs. They could have raised seven strapping kids, but they'll kill their dog if they cook for them. But it's better to feed this highly processed food with lots of byproducts in it. And the fact is, we can cook for our dogs. We can make them healthy meals. We can make them healthy snacks. And we don't have to be religious about it. We can give them a kibble when we need to. We can cook for them when we need to. We can make nice snacks when we need to. But they're, in fact, my book has a chapter called The Hassle Factor. And basically, you fill out a form. You know, where do you live? What do? If you live in New York and you have a tiny apartment and three Great Danes, you better be dating a butcher if you want to cook for your dogs, right?
Yeah.
The thing is that you look at how what your lifestyle is and how you can easily make your dog healthier, and then you figure out what process you can do. And it all works, but it's just common sense. And
it
the
is.
Good news
it
is that so many people and the people that listen to your show are learning that common sense. And so we can look forward to a healthier world because people like you and your radio show. And thank you for having it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we've only got about 30 seconds left. So I'm going to say thank you so much for being on the show. And we've learned so much, so much. And I'm sure that there's much more you could tell us. So I hope you'll be on again. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. And you can go to my website at toxicfreetalkradio.com to find out more about this show. You can see what shows are coming up, and you can go listen to the archives of all the shows that we've done to learn more great information like this about how you can live toxic-free. Be well.